Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Revival in the Word. Have you ever seen somebody or who's went through CPR class? We all have. See, we didn't really plan it out. But you can't plan when somebody passes out or when someone drowns, can you? You immediately need to do what? Resuscitate that person. See, some of us might be in a stage right now where our spiritual life needs to be resuscitated, needs to be revived. See, and those things you can't plan for. So this is a major time. The theme of revival is found again and again in the scriptures. God's hand is constantly restoring in reviving those who were lost, giving life and strength to the weary, and seeking to bring about a revival in the relationship between himself and his people. See, we are his people. He's looking to revive us. See, even if you think I'm all the way revived, see, there's another level. I ran cross country, and when you run long distance, they tell you about getting that second wind. See, some of you might feel like I'm at a place in my spiritual life where I've already have my second win. We'll get your third win. Or if you drive a stick shift, you can take it all the way to fifth gear. Let him wind all the way out. See, some of us need to go there. See, you're not too good, you're not too high spiritually right now where there's another gear. And if you ain't hit it, keep pushing because you will hit it. Throughout this week, we will focus on several specific ways in which the Word is integral to revival in our own hearts, not to nobody else's heart. Stop looking at somebody else's heart. Look at your own heart. In homes, check your own home, as well as in the church. I stop hearing the yeses there. As well as in your own church. We need a revival. Southside, are you ready for the revival in our own church? See, certainly there can be no true revival without the study of God's Word and by experiencing a deep and continuing fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to reread that because there's a lot of meat in that. Certainly there can be no true revival without the study of God's Word. See, no matter what book you read, it's got to come from God's Word. That's where the main revival comes from. Word and by experiencing a deep and continuing fellowship with Jesus Christ. I invite you to join with your World Church family in a special way during this week of prayer. As you read and contemplate the main points of each reading, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal how you can appropriate that message in your life that day. Pray that the Lord will send the latter rain of the Holy Spirit to revive each one of us individually and corporately. If you have children in the family, I have a beautiful wife that has a heart for children. She's going to take over for your children and help revive them. So see, you have no excuse. Because I know sometimes when we have young children, we're like, oh, I can't really bring them. Well, we have somebody that's going to take over and help revive the children as well. So those readings are already set up. They'll be done very appropriate for the children. God's Word urges us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, all you who belong to him. For those who fear him never want for anything. See, his Thanksgiving is coming up. I know some of our grandmas, some of our mamas cook that bomb food. You know what I'm talking about. And every year, it get better. See, the Lord says, oh, taste and see that I am good. See, we got to continually taste him. When you keep tasting him, he gets better and better, doesn't he? Because you might be hitting that point in your life where you just need to continue seeing how good he is. See, Jesus is coming soon. May he strengthen and revive each one of us, his remnant church with the latter rain, as we seek to proclaim the three angels' message and prepare to meet the Lord in the air. With kind Christian regards. This is sincerely yours, Ted N.C. Wilson. Church, I ask that you just open up your heart as we go through this time of revival. And just accept and let him move in your life. And watch the way he moves in this church.
Bow your head with me this morning. Our Father and our God, we've come to hear a word from you this morning. Now, Lord, speak through me so that your people will hear the Spirit. Not me. Hide me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the church say amen. Amen. Revival in the Word. Revival in the Word. I want to thank our elders who helping us out. Pastor Edwards, John Edwards here with us. Pastor John Edwards, could you believe that, Edwin? I recall growing up on U Street, and every Sunday morning, I said, Sunday morning. We would see the Edwards family preparing to go to church, and his dad had one of these long Cadillacs, and they would all get in that Cadillac and drive off to church on Sunday morning. And it was such a beautiful sight to see a family there worshiping the Lord. And Pastor John, we were watching you all. We were watching. We received encouragement from your family. I remember vividly your mother, Sister Edwards, and Pastor Edwards there leading his family to church every Sabbath. Now, the Lord has called us in such a time like this, John, to continue to preach his word. And it's just amazing that both of us who lived across the street from us would end up in ministry. And I just appreciate your friendship and your ministry. John was also in my wedding party 33 years ago when I got married. He was there. My friend Edwin Hollowell was one of my best men. And Gerald, you were there by my side. So God has been good. God, and if you stick with Jesus, you know, you may wander off, but you end up coming back. You end up coming back, and I just appreciate your presence. Elder Longo, let me just say thank you. And I can't wait to hear you preach. I've been hearing about you a long time. You know, Southside is blessed. Southside is blessed. So blessed. Yes. And even our young elder, Elder Wesley. Amen. We're looking forward to hearing more from you. So stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Because I will have to sit down one day. And you young ones will have to take the reign. Amen? And we want them to be trained and ready to go in this spiritual warfare. Let's look at our scripture this morning, John 1, chapter 1. And as I stated before, I will be reading from our week of prayer reading and making some comments on the side. Our reading was written by our president, Ted Wilson, who is the president of the General Conference. All our scripture, in the beginning was the Word. And I'm going to ask the question, who was the Word? Jesus Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word. That was Jesus Christ. He was there from the beginning. And the Word was with who? With God. And the Word was. So Jesus is God. He's no less of a God than any other, the Holy Spirit and God the Father. He's God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Many people have a problem with that scripture, believing that Christ was not really God. It's very plain to us here that he was God and the Word was God. So praise God for that enlightenment here in the book of John. As we begin this special emphasis on revival and the Word, let me just read here what Ted Wilson says. He says, you may wonder why we need more messages on revival. Perhaps you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian who feel contented to see things continue as they have. A nice church service on a Sabbath morning and a basically moral life may be the essence of what being a Seventh-day Adventist is to you. If this seems to be sufficient for you, then you are missing out on the best part of being a Seventh-day Adventist. Perhaps the idea of revival is appealing to you. As you look at the world events and cultural and social changes, you feel that everything is headed for disaster. You may long for a revival, thinking that revival will mean going back to the basics of society, back to the security of a well-ordered time and way of doing things. We're talking about revival here. He says security and order are not appealing to everyone. Perhaps you are interested in a revival to shake things up. You would like to see more power, more action, more miracles, and rapid church growth. We all want to see that. Although these things can and will take place as a result of revival, they are not at the heart of revival. We stand individually as a church poised for a wonderful spiritual experience as we study about revival. While a great experience is a good beginning, true revival must go beyond a brief experience. It must be even more than a new beginning. Revival implies going all the way back to the beginning. And I just read from you that scripture. In the beginning was the who? And the Word is who? Jesus. And Jesus is God. Word was God and was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The heart, and here's the heart of true revival. Revival is more than going back to basics or shaking things up. It is more than about the power or influence. Revival is about renewing our focus on Jesus. That's what true revival is. Through Jesus, creation took place. And it is only through Jesus that a recreation or revival can take place. Jesus is and must be central to any revival. Do we need a revival in Southside? We're still here. Jesus has not yet come to take us home. We have not yet experienced the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to finish the task of taking this third angel's message to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. Revelation 14, verse 6. We as a church need this revival. But this revival will not come to us corporately without its first being a personal experience. Imagine what our worship service would be like if each one of us had a personal experience with Jesus in the shower this morning before we get here. Wouldn't be no complaining. Wouldn't be no criticizing. We as a church need this revival. Each of us can administer the simple test by asking ourselves, who has the heart? With whom are our thoughts? Of whom do we love to converse and talk about? Who has our warmest affections and our best energies? If we are Christ, our thoughts are with him, and our sweetest thoughts are of him. All we have and are is consecrated to him. We long to bear his image, breathe his spirit, do his will, and please him in all things. We need a revival personally. And we have to be careful what things we love so much. We have to be careful what makes us feel good. Come on, somebody. What makes you tick? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Watch what makes you feel good. Reviving relationship. For a revival to begin, we must each focus upon our relationship with Jesus. If we understand that we are saved by grace, and we are, and are completely dependent on and indebted to a powerful God who has not only created us, but redeemed us, we will not opt for a mechanicalistic, legalistic approach. Our grateful and complete surrender to our Lord will result in a spirit-filled, dynamic, and vibrant Christian life and witness. We all need to understand fully where we are in the flow of time. And where we are in reference to Jesus soon coming. We must remember that the great controversy is raging all around us and often in us, and that the devil wants to derail our spiritual life and connection with Christ to prevent the loud cry of Revelation 14 from being heard all around the world. The revival we need is not based on emotionalism or miracles. We want to know Jesus better so we can share him more. We need the motivation and power of the Holy Spirit for evangelism. We need Jesus to send the promised Spirit as he did to his waiting followers at Pentecost, John 16, verse 7. Our need is perhaps nowhere more pronounced than in the challenge of reaching the big cities. And did you know that more than half the world's population is already living in cities? You know, there was a time when Adventists loved to escape and move out to the countries and move away from the cities. Oh, let's get away from the bad cities' influence on us. But now we've changed. The General Conference is realizing that most of the world's population is already living in the cities. And yet, the president says, in many cities, we barely have a foothold. Remembering the words of the prophet Zechariah, we realize that the Great Commission will be fulfilled. Zechariah says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. How will we be able to make an impact? New plans and strategies may have their place, but what we really need is the miracle working power of the Word that created all things in the beginning. We need to open ourselves to be God's agents in bringing the good news of Jesus, saving victory and soon coming to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. In order to know Jesus better, so that we can share him better, we need to cultivate a relationship with Jesus and continue to grow in our walk with the Lord. Accepting Jesus is not a one-time experience. It has to be a growing experience. Like the Apostle Paul, we have to be willing to die how often? Daily. Get your raggedy self up in the morning and die. Daily, Paul says. Let me get back to my notes. I keep wandering off. The idea of cultivating a relationship with Jesus is not new to us. But because we cannot see him, we often struggle with really making it work. Any relationship is about communication. Prayer opens our hearts, Brother Willis, and draws us into an ultimate, intimate relationship with Jesus. The walls that keep us from this intimate experience with Jesus fall as we plead with God to take them down. All pride, bitterness, complacency, and materialism can be broken through by the Spirit as we spend time with Jesus in prayer. Just spend time with him in prayer. In our busy lives, it is challenging to keep our love for Jesus vibrant. With so many demands on our time and attention, we will have to proactively carve out time to listen to God. Although God speaks to us through his providential workings and the impressions of the Holy Spirit on our minds, the clearest way God communicates with us is through his holy word. As we take time to study the Word of God, we should prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to be present and remove anything separating us from God. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we have been given a wonderful treasure. The Spirit of Prophecy is one of God's greatest gifts to his end-time remnant people. It is, in Ellen White's words, the lesser light leading to the greater light. Study the counsels of his messenger. Let them draw you to the matchless charms of Jesus and encourage you to a deeper study of his word. Amen. For the Spirit of Prophecy. Only leading us to the greater light. Matthew 24 tells us of the signs of his coming. We have only to look around us at the economic upheaval, the political instability, devastating illnesses, and social and moral decay to see these signs being fulfilled. There already are ecumenical movements aimed at creating a unified religious system that will oppose the worship of God on the seventh-day Sabbath and ultimately eliminate religious liberty and promote a substitute day of worship. We need to resurrect religious liberty in Southside again to keep us aware of things happening in the government right now. And some of our young men have even experienced that in the military right now. Couldn't worship on the Sabbath. But praise God, there were men enough and there were godly enough young men to say, we're going to choose God first, not man. There they are sitting right over there. Praise God. They chose God over man. Praise God, and God bless you. When he does come that second time, his feet will not touch this earth, but we will rise up into the heavenly cloud to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Prior to his glorious return, however, Satan will seek to deceive the very elect. As the King James Version of Matthew 24:24 tells us, Satan will attempt to transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And he will try to impersonate Christ. How will you and I know this imposter from the real Christ? Imagine the frenzied media coverage that will supposedly prove to all that this Christ is real. Satan, surrounded by evil angels and claiming to be God, will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. We will not be able to trust our physical senses. We will have to have our spiritual eyes renewed by the Holy Ghost. We will need to be so in tune with our Savior, so familiar with his voice in the Word, that we will be able to live by faith in earth's darkest hour. We're nearing the finish line. We're nearing the finish line. Our president says he believes that God's dream of a finished work will soon be realized. He says, I'm confident that as we seek to know Jesus better, God will pour out his Holy Spirit without measure. He will use us to proclaim his truth, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea, the work of God on earth will be completed. Jesus will come as the mighty deliverer. He will come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take his children home. Amen and amen. I attended my wife's cousin Veronica's memorial service this past week, and they sang a song that she used to sing, my wife and her and a few others in a group, and I love the words of this song. It says, I hear the voice of Jesus calling. He's calling for you and me. Brother Kemp, if you can get on there. The kingdom of heaven surely is at hand. We're going to the promised land. I hear the voice of Jesus calling. He's calling for you and me. The kingdom of heaven surely is at hand. We're going to the promised land. He's coming back for all of his children. We're going home to reign. Get your house in order, for he's coming soon. Maybe morning, night, or noon. Oh, what a great day. What a great day that will be. When the saints go marching in my Savior's face to see. When the roll is called up yonder. Don't you want to hear your name? Get ready, because he's coming back again. Oh, what a great day. What a great day that will be. When the saints go marching in my Savior's face to see. When the roll is called up yonder, don't you want to hear your name? Get ready, because he's coming back again. Amen. How many of us want to be there? If you want to be there, would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet if you want to be there when Jesus comes. Stand to your feet right now. Somebody in here today may not have made their calling and election sure. And you're not sure you're ready to see Jesus in peace. You're not quite sure that you got it all together. You haven't gone all the way with Jesus. You haven't claimed to be on this side of the game. You're straddling the fence right now. You're still attached to the things of this world. Right now, I want you to pray, because somebody in here may come forward. Bow your heads and pray, church. You're struggling between the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. You know what's right, but your flesh is weak. But I'm here today to tell you, God has got your back. It is no coincidence that you're here. This morning, God sent you here this morning to hear a word from the Lord. He sent you here this morning to let you know he loves you. And he's willing to, he died for you. He sent you here to hear that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I need the prayer warriors to pray right now. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son Jesus down here to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You needed to hear those words this morning. You need to hear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to know that Jesus stretched his hands wide. And the nails were driven in his hand for you. They were driven in his feet for you. He was pierced in his side for you. And you want to accept him this morning. But you need a little help. You need a little prayer. And I want our prayer warriors to come down. Prayer warriors, come down this. Prayer warriors, prayer warriors. Prayer warriors, come down. I have our prayer warriors lined up here. Soldiers in the army. Prayer warriors, come down. And if you feel like you just can't go on, you need a little boost this morning, I'm asking you to come down this morning, and we're going to have the Southside prayer warriors surround you this morning. Bow your heads, church. Keep praying. You've been struggling like we all do. Nobody in here does the struggle. But you need a little prayer to take you through the week. You need a little prayer to motivate you to come out during this week's revival. Come on down to the altar this morning. Come on down to the altar and we'll pray with you. We're not perfect people up here, you know. We're struggling just like you. But we've fallen, but we've gotten back up again. You need prayer this morning. Come on down to the altar. Come on down to the altar this morning. You want to see Jesus in peace. Tomorrow's not promised. Nobody promised you that you would be living tomorrow, even today. But you want to make your calling, you want to make your decisions sure today. Come on down to the altar for prayer this morning. Is anyone here? Anyone here this morning? Come down to the altar for prayer this morning. Let us pray. Father, and even while I'm praying, those of you who want to come down, come down. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that you would send a revival here. I pray that you would send the Holy Ghost this week to touch our hearts as we study about your word. We need a revival this morning, Lord. We need a revival this week. And I pray, Lord, that those who are even at home now, I pray for your Holy Spirit to go touch them now, Father. Bring them out this week so they can hear a word from the Lord. Oh, Father, we don't have long now. We've seen the signs all around us. We've seen the earthquakes and the floods and the global warming, Father. We've seen the changes in people themselves. We know that your coming is near. Put that urgency on our hearts, Father, this morning. Give us some life. Give us some fire, Lord. Give us Holy Ghost fire, Lord. Give us wisdom from on high. Give us some, throw a little common sense in there, Father, to realize that we don't have long. We want to go to sleep, Lord, in Jesus. And Lord, if you happen to come when we are alive and remain, we want to look up, Father, and we want to hear your voice say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, but I will make you ruler over many." We want to hear that sweet voice. We want to be familiar with that voice. But Lord, we know that even before we hear that voice, we have to become familiar with it now. We need to hear your voice now. Clear all the debris from our minds and our ears, Lord, so we can hear your Spirit speak to us. Oh God, and we will be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray that you would bless Southside this week. Anoint our speakers, Lord, this week, Father. Tomorrow night we have Dr. Boyce Doolin. Father, anoint him now. So when he opens his mouth, Father, we will be receptive to your word. Oh God, we thank you for this opportunity to draw closer to you. We want to meet you in peace. We want to see you come. We want to live with you forever, Lord. Tired of this old world. Oh, we lift up Jesus today, because he's been so good to us. It's our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.